argument this morning is 22-1377, Indiana Municipal Power Agency v. United States. Good morning, Ms. Whipple, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honor. I am Peggy Whipple on behalf of the appellants. May it please the Court. The Court of Federal Claims erred in dismissing appellant's statutory claim because no Congress has ever expressly said that the government may pay anything less than 35% of the interest due for the life of the appellant's Build America bonds, which, with the Court's permission, I'll call BABS for brevity. And the Court below erred in dismissing the contract claim because appellants did plead all of the elements of a contract grounded in the party's conduct and also language in Section 3A of the ARRA, which expressly declared Congress's intent that the government would, and I quote, invest, end quote, in the $4 billion in BABS issued by appellants to build power plants, create jobs, and pull America out of recession. In a nutshell, this is the deal that Congress and the appellants
but
made.
But you agree on the legal question. I mean, you just think they put this in the wrong bucket. You just think that the judge put this in the wrong bucket. You don't disagree that if this were construed as discretionary spending, not in an Appropriations Act, then it wouldn't be covered. It would be covered by sequestration.
If this was construed as discretionary spending, yes, but it can't be because it is funded by a permanent appropriation, which is not a discretionary appropriation. And so it couldn't happen in these facts. 31 U.S.C. Section 1324 is a permanent appropriation, not a discretionary appropriation. In a nutshell, this is the deal.
Is it 35% paid out without any type of oversight?
There is an exchange of forms. These appellants, BABS, have interest due twice a year, not once a year, but twice a year. And each time these appellants make an interest payment, they are required to submit a form, CP-8038, to the IRS that confirms both that they've made the payment and the amount of the payment. The IRS is then able to calculate.
What happens if that form is not filled out? They don't get the 35%.
Well, no, because the IRS wouldn't know what to calculate the 35% off of.
Let's say it was filled out incompletely. Who has the discretion to decide that the form has been or not been received, or that the form is inaccurate or incomplete?
Based on the record that we have, I understand it would be the IRS because they return a form that confirms we have received your form CP-8038 and it's being processed. So somebody there obviously has the authority.
The funding's not automatic. It's not like getting your check in the mail.
Correct. The funding is automatic, but the amount of the check, the amount that's actually written on the check, that is calculated from the form.
Why is that not discretionary?
Because discretionary appropriations are annual, ordinary, or supplemental appropriations, whereas this appropriation is the permanent and definite appropriation, 31 U.S.C. 1324, for the refund of tax revenues.
But it's not, I mean, the judge concluded it's not an appropriation act, and he had a lot of basis for what the GAO says and what the various statutes say about what constitutes an appropriation act. So what's your best argument against his conclusion in that regard?
He erred because for two reasons. The ARRA itself, by definition of 1 U.S.C. Section 105, is an appropriation act because the title of it absolutely conforms to that statutory definition of what an appropriation act is. That's error number one. Error number two is the judge erred in arguing or in deciding that the permanent indefinite appropriation of 31 U.S.C. 1324 is not an appropriation act. And that was simply error. It is, by its definition, an appropriation act. It's a permanent one, but it is an appropriation act. In this case, let me start.
I'm sorry. I'm a little confused by a lot of this that we're talking about today. I didn't think that a sequestration applied to this because it was a discretionary appropriation, because I thought sequestration applied to two things. It applied to discretionary appropriations and direct spending laws. And the judge didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but he didn't find that sequestration applied to you because this is a discretionary appropriation. He found that this is a direct spending law.
You are absolutely correct. And he was wrong in doing that, but that is indeed what he held.
And why is he wrong in doing that? Because it is. I mean, it's not a... Are you trying to argue it was a discretionary appropriation?
No. We are arguing that it is an appropriation act, therefore not subject to sequestration, and we are...
Where's the statutory authority that appropriations that aren't discretionary are not subject to sequestration? I thought that when Congress wanted to exempt these kind of laws that are not discretionary, first of all, what's the category that's not discretionary appropriations and not direct spending?
Your definitions, and this is at the...
Can you answer that? I know I asked you the first question first. Can you answer that latter question? Is there a third category that's not a discretionary appropriation and not a direct spending law?
Well, yes. If you
Well,
there'd be more than three, because if you get completely into the area, into the funds that are refunds of overpayments of tax, that is neither discretionary appropriations nor an appropriations act, because it is not direct spending. It is the government holding money to which it has no title to keep it. When the government receives an overpayment of tax, it doesn't get to keep that revenue. It is required by statute to refund it to the rightful owner of the money, and it so does that.
So
none of that is direct spending.
That's not a direct spending.
None of it is.
Are you trying to argue that that's what this money is?
We are arguing exactly that's what this money is, because Congress defined these payments as overpayments of tax in Section 1531 of ARRA.
You agree that this is not a discretionary appropriation?
Correct.
And the sequestration applied to discretionary stuff too. I think
it
kept getting pulled off and things. Sequestration still applies to direct spending.
It applies to direct spending, which is what the
what
court below held.
What is direct spending?
It is that statutory, the definition is at statutory addendum page 6. It is 2 United States Code 900, subsection C8.
And that's what the Court of Federal Claims at Appendix 10 concluded 1324 was.
Yes,
and
he did that incorrectly.
A bunch of reasons
for
why this would be under that. It's most naturally seen as providing for direct spending as opposed to under an appropriation act. And he's got like four reasons why that is the case, including the glossary of terms by the GAO, the committee that's not having gone through appropriations, but rather through judiciary, and a whole bunch of reasons. So why don't you respond to those? I mean, was he just wrong? Where was he wrong?
First of all, he was wrong when he dismissed the case, because the grounds that he gave were that 31 U.S.C. 1324, he said, is not an appropriation act for two reasons. He said it's because it doesn't have the proper title that's required by 1 U.S.C. 105. And number two, he said, it was not under the jurisdiction of the House and Senate Appropriations Committees. Those were the two reasons he gave in his original order of dismissal. We sought reconsideration of that order and said, but Your Honor, we focused on 31 U.S.C. 1324 because that's the attack the government leveled in the motion to dismiss, but please don't lose sight of the fact that the ARRA itself...
So that was a different argument. But here you're challenging, I guess I was looking for your quick and brief and articulate rationale of why he was wrong on 1324. If you want to move to the reconsideration, he wasn't obligated to deal with that issue, but he did, and he rejected it as well. And I'm not seeing where the error was in his treatment of the ARRA, a 400-page thing that includes direct spending and includes a lot of other stuff. So I thought he was very helpful to us to deal with an issue that he perhaps wasn't obligated to do. But what's your response to his conclusion on the ARA?
Well, if I might also, I think, do a better job of answering your question about 31 U.S.C. Right. 1324, it cannot be direct spending as he ended up holding that it must be, because on its face, it is a permanent appropriation for the refund of revenue collections. That is the point. Being required by that statute to refund revenue collections, that's not the same thing as direct spending by the government. On the ARRA itself, your second question, Your Honor.
I'm sorry, appropriations law is very arcane.
Yes,
and
sir.
So if this is not a refund in the typical sense that you pay taxes and you're getting a refund, it's a government program to give you a subsidy.
Exactly.
So
you're
it's
right.
Government spending in some sense.
It is a program to give a subsidy.
It's a budgetary resource.
It's through refunds that Congress obviously took great pains to not define as direct spending. I think that's why it's key to remember that Congress defined these refunds as overpayments of tax.
I'm sorry, I should know the answer to this, but keeping all these statutory provisions in my head is hard. Is 31-1324 the specific BAP program, or is it just the refund fund?
It is the refund statute that was amended by the BABS program.
Okay.
So that it includes the BABS refunds in its list of refunds that it makes.
So why can't some of that be direct spending and some of it just be refunds? The BABS program is definitely government spending on behalf of these programs to subsidize whatever improvements you all were supposed to make. They put it under, it didn't get appropriated funds, right? In the typical sense.
Not in the typical sense, it was.
It's not a discretion. They could have.
They could have.
Here's $50 million, apply for these grants, and we'll give you these grants to subsidize that. That
right.
would be discretionary spending.
And they could have done it, and they
it's
didn't.
Not that.
You're right.
Instead, they said, we're going to do the spending as a refundable tax credit, and it will be paid out of the refund fund.
Correct. That is exactly correct.
Why
and
isn't
I think
that
that's
direct
key.
Spending?
It's not direct spending. The key is because...
I guess what I'm asking, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you.
That's okay.
I'm having a hard time putting that... How do you define if it's not discretionary spending, which I think we agree it's not,
mm-hmm.
and it's not direct spending... What third bucket out there does Congress have the budgetary authority to put it in? And what statute or what appropriations?
Refunds from revenue collections that the government is not entitled to hold. And that's exactly what Congress decided to do. Surely not by accident. You're right. This is not a simple formula.
No. You're referring to a specific type of fund. But that's not government spending at all, right? Refunding money that the taxpayer improperly paid is not government spending. This is government spending. It's coming back to you in the guise of a refundable tax credit, but it's government spending. So if it's not discretionary appropriated spending and it's not direct spending, what's the larger category of government spending that you would refer this as? Not as a refund, because that's not helpful.
Respectfully, I cannot agree that it is direct spending specifically.
I'm not asking you to agree that it's direct spending. I'm asking you because you seem to say it's not direct spending, it's not discretionary appropriations, so it must be a third type of spending. A refund is not spending.
Agreed.
So
agreed.
What is that third type of spending that you think that Congress has the authority to do that you would say that this is, that's not covered by sequestration?
That third type of, I won't say spending, that third type of moving money from one place to another, that Congress can authorize the movement of money from one place to another, is to refund an overpayment of tax.
I mean, if you're going to resist the notion that this is different than a refund, this is not moving money around, this is government proactively giving your clients money. They do it in form of a refundable tax credit,
yes,
but this is a spending program. So you're not, you don't, sorry, I ate up all your rebuttal. I take it you don't, there's not this third category out here that is called this type of government spending.
We're going to have to just respectfully disagree on that, and not because I'm being stubborn, but because I'm sticking with the language Congress used.
Okay, we'll restore some rebuttal. Let's hear from the government.
May it please the court. I'd just like to take off from a couple of the points that the appellant made. First, with regards to whether the ARA constitutes an appropriation act itself. The argument that they had made on reconsideration, which they seem to be relying upon today. We would note that the ARA itself does not actually appropriate anything for this particular program. The relevant provision and the proper provision that the court focused upon, as had been argued by the parties initially, was 1324. 1324 is an indefinite, permanent piece of direct spending. For the purposes of clarification, we would agree that this is government direct spending. It is distinct from refunding money that was put into the Treasury. However, it should be noted that GAO Appropriations Law Handbook at 211, which the court was one of the documents the court relied upon in deciding this case, does list 13 U.S.C. 1322, which is a refund provision, as a permanent indefinite appropriation, a piece of direct spending. So to simply say that this is very different would be inconsistent with the characterizations which Congress has made.
ARA has a lot in it. But yes. So we're talking about this particular provision and not necessarily under. But what I don't understand about their argument about the ARA is that the funding for the program doesn't come from the ARA, right? It comes from 1324.
Yeah, 1324, that's correct.
Right. And we believe that was to rest on the AR. I mean, I kind of understood why they didn't press it in the first instance, but they did raise it on reconsideration. And it seems a little odd to rest on it because it's not the source of the funding in any event.
They
made the argument on 1324, which I understand.
We would agree that 1324 is the appropriate focus.
Are all kind of like revolving, you know, funds like the refund fund considered direct spending?
Yes, generally.
Like the judgment fund.
The judgment fund would be direct spending, and in fact,
is there support in like GAO documents or something that lists the judgment fund?
List the judgment fund as something along that, and I think it's also important that in 905, when Congress was listing the exemptions from the sequestration provision, it listed the judgment fund among those. You have to know it's a section that provides claims, I believe it's called Claims, Judgments, and Relief Acts, which encompasses the judgment fund. They have a code associated with it, which tells us it's the judgment fund. Those codes can be a little obtuse at times, though.
So the refund fund that's at issue here is, in your view, they didn't specifically exempt it from sequestration.
No, they specifically exempted those refunds to individual taxpayers, but not these particular bonds, this particular type of refund. There is, at 905, Congress...
Are there other types of taxpayers that might be entitled to a refund but would have it reduced because of sequestration?
Yeah, so 905D, Congress expressly exempted refundable income tax payments made to individuals, but it did not exempt these particular payments.
Which sort of, you would argue, I assume, cuts your way.
Yes,
because
it does.
Congress knew that for these types of payments, they had to explicitly exempt them, and it did, but not for this particular one.
Absolutely. The only other point I wanted to raise, and this was only briefly raised, was with regards to the contract claim. I think we've covered most of this in our brief.
Well, I'm not sure they raised it at all here.
She didn't argue it.
Okay.
So, well, can I just follow up on what I was trying to get at with your friend? Is the suggestion that there's some third type of bucket out there? I thought that it's either discretionary appropriations or it's direct spending. And of course, direct spending is in some sense an appropriation because everything has to be appropriated,
yes.
Right? It's just, it's not discretionary. I give you X sum of money to do something for the next year or 2 years. It's, here's a statutory authorization to spend money.
Well, I mean, to the extent there is sort of a third bucket, or there might even be a fourth bucket, there are sort of four buckets, I think, that Congress talks about.
Okay.
And that would be appropriations acts, which we contend is not an issue here, direct spending, and then they talk about entitlement programs.
Okay.
And they also talk about, I forget what it's, but it's another very specific entitlement fund. So here, you know, I don't think either party contends this is entitlement. Those are very specific acts defined by the statute. I don't think it falls in any other bucket.
Do you happen to know if the entitlement funds come out of the Appropriations Committee or other committees?
I believe they come out of other committees. So that's my. I mean, if you look to sort of get an idea of how, you know, which committees this sort of works through, I do think that Congress has provided some degree of guidance in Title II that talks about the budgeting process. That doesn't talk about appropriation acts. It talks about appropriation bills, because before they're appropriation acts, they're an appropriation bill. So there are references to how appropriation bills are properly handled and what the responsibilities are of various committees of Congress with regards to those. So I think it's pretty well laid out in Title II. Is there any further questions? We respectfully request the court affirm that judgment of the United States Court of Federal Claims. Thank you.
Thank you.
Briefly, Your Honors, I think it's important to remember that none of the sequestration statutes, all of which were enacted subsequent to all of the operative ones, were enacted subsequent to the 2009 ARRA. None of them expressly reference the BABS program. None of them do. And so we are working here with construction.
I get that, but is it necessary for them to call it out specifically, or can they say, here's this category of spending out here, and I know you disagree, but let's just assume that BABS falls within that category, and they say, sequestration applies to this, everything in this category, except for these exceptions. Isn't that enough?
That, so long as they expressly said everything, you know, in this described category is subject to sequestration, I would have to agree with
you. So all direct spending is subject to sequestration except, you know, programs 1 through 6.
Right. And we have never argued that direct spending is not subject to sequestration. So, we have always argued that this is not direct spending.
Okay. But you didn't ever tell me what it was. It's not discretionary, it's not direct spending, it's not an entitlement program.
It's a refund. It's a refund from an overpayment of tax.
But that still has to come from some type of government budgetary authorization that is referred to, and it is, at least your friend from the Justice Department said, the judgment fund, for instance, is direct spending, and Congress recognizes that's a form of direct spending. It's a permanent appropriation to give out money. Why isn't a permanent appropriation to give out refunds the same type of direct spending?
I think it's because in the sense of accounting, money coming in is not the same as money going out. And the money coming in, if you never had legal title to it, if you're obligated to just give it back, Congress did not define that as direct spending. It defined it as a refund of an overpayment of tax. While we're talking about Congress, one point I didn't get to make that I think maybe is helpful here. What we're looking for is more express language from Congress, which none of the sequestration statutes gave us regarding BABS. We do know that in 2017, Congress, for the first and only time since 2009, addressed the BABS program by name. That's when it actually repealed the government's obligation to make the 35% interest payment. But in doing that repeal, Congress expressly exempted all of appellants' BABS from the repeal because it said, Congress said, this repeal applies only December 2017 going forward.
That's
express action.
It seems that much of your argument is that the BAB payments is an income tax refund, correct?
And
yes. That really provides the basis for many of your other arguments.
Yes, it does.
But how can that be? You're asking us to accept a fiction here. This is not really an income tax refund, is it? An income tax refund is a refund by the U.S. government to monies that have been overpaid to it. They're monies that don't belong to the U.S. government. They belong to the taxpayer.
Yes.
Here, the BAB never does belong to the taxpayer before the payment is made, or maybe even after the payment is made. So this cannot be an appropriation or not subject to sequestration because it's an income tax refund. Why should we buy into that fiction?
I think we buy into the fiction because that's what Congress said we would do with the ARRA.
Congress
and it never
they created the fiction. I mean they there's no clearness in what Congress was intending to do, but it set it up in a way that doesn't help your case, I believe. By setting it up by the IRS to provide the bad payments, seems to me that what it did is just having one agency pay another, and the last agency has some discretion as to whether the bad payment is going to be made or not.
The agency only would have discretion to make the calculation of the amount of the payment, not whether or not it would be made. Because the language of the statute is mandatory. It's the triple mandate of shall pay. So the only discretion that rests with the IRS is in the actual math, doing the arithmetic.
So that makes it not an income tax payment, credit, or refund. Oh, sorry.
It makes it an on-the-spot calculated refund per Congress's language, not mine. I mean, that's the language of the ARRA.
It's not a credit, though.
I wonder if Your Honor, because there's a third party involved here, and that may be what Your Honor is hanging up on, and you're right, again, it's the fiction that we've got created. The appellants, the public power issuers, they were induced, to issue these taxable BABs, which instead of the tax-exempt bonds, which they normally would have issued, for two reasons, because that was supposed to generate more interest in the investing community, but it also would generate otherwise unexpected tax revenues to the government when the investors, who are the taxpayers, paid the tax on the taxable bond. And the way Congress wrote ARRA is Congress was then coming half circle around. The government was obligated to then refund part of that overpayment of tax back to these public power providers as the incentive, as the promise, as the deal for having issued taxable bonds instead of tax-exempt bonds in the first place.
Your time has expired.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you both very much, and the case is submitted. That concludes our proceeding for this morning.